Could you tell me about the Evangeline home that you worked in Tacoma, Washington?
Oh, yes. I was sent there as an assistant to the lady officer in charge. And these Evangeline homes are run for working girls who come from sometimes from away from home, you know, into a city, and they don't have too much finances to draw on, and so they're for that purpose, for working girls. And it is a home away from home. They try to treat them like they were, you know, real, plan things for them, special things for Christmas time, and they serve good meals, and they have chapel services and different things for the girls. So it is really a nice thing for these girls to leave home and come to a city, which they might have a real problem if they were out in some apartment or something. So it's really a nice place for girls who, and it's the same thing in Los Angeles. They have over 300 girls, I think, there most of the time. They have places filled. And they do a good program there, the girls. Because I haven't been around at Evangeline much for years, but I think the program possibly may be a little different now, too, than what we have. But it's a real service for the working girl.
Were these mostly like secretaries? Were these mostly like secretaries, or were there many professionals?
Well, I imagine they are. A lot of them, different kinds of work that women do, you know. And they keep to a certain age, I think, the younger women mostly. And so they feel that that's the service of the best for young people, you know. Because you take some of these girls that come from small towns or out in the country and come into city, they're lost, really, to know how to get along. And it is a real protection for them, really, especially today where there's so much, many things going on all the time, many things happening, that I think it's really good for the young people. But, we don't have too many of them. We have one in Seattle and one in San Francisco and one in Los Angeles in this territory. Of course, it's just the larger cities who have them, but the only places, I guess, that really need it. So but it is a worthwhile program. I don't know too much about the program they carry on today, because I haven't had anything to do with it for so many years. But I know they do a lot for the girls.
Could you tell me some experiences you had working in your home?
Oh, I don't recall too much about it. I've had to think about it a lot. Memory isn't as good as it used to be.
Could you tell me some about your husband, what type of person he was, what his background was?
Abraham?
Could you tell me some about your husband, what kind of person he was and what his background was. And
well, I first met my husband in my first appointment when I came out of training in Ogden, Utah. He was living there. And then when I left there, because I wasn't interested in him or anything at that time, but, I met him again in Seattle. Some special services they were having in Seattle, and I was stationed at Fort Lewis then, and I went to Seattle for the services, and he and his father were there, and of course I hadn't seen him for quite a long time, and he came and shook hands with me, and we talked, and about the time I had known him, and then I was sent to Anacortes, Washington, and I was sick. He wrote me a letter. He heard that I was sick, and he wrote me a letter. He was a great hand to write letters to people, and he was a very kind and hearty person. And then I was transferred to Bremerton, Washington, and he was then living in Bremerton. He worked for the Standard Oil Company. And so he took a fancy to me, and he used to come every day. While we would be having lunch, the girl was stationed with me, and there was a window right by our table. And he used to come every day, and he always brought me a red rose. every day he would bring this red rose and give it to me. And so he just kept on until he finally won me. But he was a very wonderful person, and very kind, and I just couldn't describe him really. He was a marvelous person. That's his picture there. And he was very successful in his work in the area. People liked him wherever he went.
Had you done much dating with other men before you knew him? Had you done much dating with other men before you
knew him? Oh, before?
Yeah.
Yes, I had. Before I went to training, I was going with a young man, and he went to training before I did, and then we never saw each other again, of course, after that. But I met him years afterwards, and he was married, living in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Or not Coeur d'Alene, but Spokane. And I just happened to be visiting in Spokane, and I met him again. But I never dated too many, as far as I'm concerned, after he was the only one really that I dated until I met my husband. Because I was an officer for 5 years before I met him. But you know, in the Army, you're not supposed to marry outside of an officer, you know. And so you just don't date people when you're an officer or a young officer, unless you have some idea of whether you're going to get married and leave the Army or later you'll become an officer. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So when we were married, our plan was to go back in the Army as soon as I was able to take an appointment, you see, because I was sick right at the time when we were married. And I'd had that, I had that goiter operation the first year, so my voice was gone for about a year, so I couldn't have done it. I'd have had to go on furlough anyway. Mm-hmm. So we were out just a little over a year, and then they accepted us. But he was a marvelous person. He was well liked by everyone, and he was very successful in his work.
What was your wedding like?
Oh, we had a wedding at the Army, and like the Army does, a public wedding. It was very nice. I was away from home. There wasn't any of my people there. My folks were in Colorado, and I was Remington, Washington, so I was a long way from home, but they had a lovely wedding. But I wasn't able to go on honeymoon, so we didn't go anywhere.
Were you married wearing your uniform?
Yes. Uh-huh. And we had a white sash like thing that they used to wear. I don't think they do that anymore much, but then we did. And of course, then we had our father. So.
Did your husband take an active role in raising your children? Was he at home most of the time?
Oh, yes. He was always home in the evenings. And one thing, when the children were small, we tried to spend as much time with them as possible. And of course, when we had vacation time, we always first had 3 weeks every year. And we would go off. We used to go camping a lot on our vacations with the children. And we tried to get away from the Russian hustle of things. Mm-hmm. When we were in Idaho, we used to go up to Yellowstone Park a lot, and he loved to fish, so we would stop at what was known as Max Inn. We would go fishing there, and we'd camp there for a week, and then we'd go on up to Yellowstone Park and camp in different spots. And we just enjoyed ourselves. And that's usually what we did when we had vacation, was to go off like that and spend time with the children. But he was always good about being home whenever he had an opportunity. So he was good helping around when I was doing any work at all outside, but he was always helping at home too. Good with the children. My daughter, she was, well, her daddy was just about to, the greatest person on earth. She still talks about him so much. Of course, they both young when he passed away. My son was just 13 when his father died. So it meant I had a great responsibility to raise my two children alone and at the time, especially when they needed a father, I think. I'm so thankful that they both turned out well.
How would you say being in the Army affected your married life?
Mm-hmm.
How would you say being in the Army affected your married life?
Well, I don't think it had any effect on it as far as, you know, the Army was concerned. We had our life together, and he was always home in the evenings, just like any other man who was in business. And if he had been away from home a lot, it might have been different, but he would go to the office in the morning, do his work during the day, and if I had responsibility too, I would be there to help, and but we'd be home and we'd meet with our family. And I don't think it had any, as far as the Army is concerned, I don't think it had any effect on us at all. Because in the job that he was in, as for a Corps officer, he would be gone during the day like any man would be during his work, you know, and come home. We came home for lunch, and then we used to very often sit down and play a game of checkers or something just to relax while he was home and talk. And then he would go back to the office and do whatever work he had to do that day. And we often visited together, so we were together a lot as far as I work, much more so than some married couples are. And my husband has gone all day. So I think it had nothing to do with our, you know, relationship at all. Hindering us. It even helped, I think.
Did your children ever feel any, well, I'm wondering what it was like to be in the Army and how that was seen by people outside of the Army. I mean, were your children ever, did people ever ask or wonder, you know, what their parents did or make fun of them or anything like that?
Well, I don't know. Of course, I think possibly the children in school may have sometimes they had remarks made about the Salvation Army. But whether, I don't think there had anything said about the parents, possibly, but the Army in general, you know, like kids are sometimes, make remarks about the Salvation Army. But I don't think it affected them, because they both took part in the Army. They both played in the band at school, and they played in the Army and meetings and that too. So I don't think that it had any really effect on them as far as any remarks that might have been made. I think some children possibly do, it does affect them. They don't want to, won't even go to the Army when they get older. I mean, I think that has happened in some families, but it's never the case for that. I think a lot of it has to do with your home life and the attitude that you have about things. And the things you talk about at home, if you talk about a lot of the hardships and a lot of the bad things that might happen, well, it might affect the children, but it never happened that way in our home. We didn't do that. So I don't think that they, either one of them ever,
what would you say has been most what do you think of most about your time in the Army? I mean, what has most impressed you about it? What has most impressed you about being in the Army, about just from all your experience in it?
Well, I think one of the things that is being able to help people has been the thing that has meant more to me than anything. Feeling that you're doing something to help others. And when you feel that God has called you to do a certain type of work, and you feel that you are able to accomplish something in that work, and that mostly is dealing with people. And it has meant a lot to me to feel that in cases where people were having problems, that I might be able to do something that would help them. And of course, as far as the ministerial part of the work in the Army, as far as I'm concerned, I never did a great deal of that because my husband always did the preaching. And of course I did when I was single officer before I was married. But after I was married, I never did much of it because my voice was bad, and I tried to save that for other things. And so my work was mostly in dealing with people and otherwise. And then, of course, after my husband passed away, I was only in the Corps of work for a little while, and then I was sent to this welfare secretary job in Gordon, which was dealing with people all the time, and in all kinds of cases. And so that has been my work mostly since my husband passed away. And in the San Francisco place for women and children, well, that was my job every day, dealing with people. And I think that has been the highlight in my career. I don't know how much, you never know how much good you do, of course, but you feel like when it's done in the name of the Lord, then it's, it does have some effect. Mm-hmm. And that has been the highlight in my life, of course.
Do you remember? Do you remember any particularly impressive cases of people being converted and of their whole way of life changing in your work?
Well, at the moment it's hard to recall just specific cases. See so many people over the years, and I like to mention a young man that I had a letter from one time that had been a court cadet when we were in Boise, and that's a Bible study group, young people. And he left there after a while, and then he went into the service. And during the time he was in the service, he was wounded in the sector of the hospital in San Francisco. And then later on, while he was there, he had required a dope habit. I suppose they'd given him so much stuff during the time that he was ill that he became a dope thing, and addict, I should say. And he got to the place where he was on the verge of committing suicide, and he remembered what had been said to him while he was a court cadet in Boise, and he said that was what saved his life, was what had been said to him. I don't know if me or my husband said to him during the time that he remembered the words that he had been told then. And so that was what had saved his life. And that he had given his heart to the Lord, and at that time he was in business back in the East. And he said he was just anxious for me to know what had happened to him. And so I wrote him back a letter, and he had heard that my husband had passed away, so I wrote him and asked him if he would please tell me something about himself, what he was doing, and how he was getting along. So he wrote back and he said he was married, and that he had a business of his own, and that he was doing real well, and everything was fine with him. And it's just things like that that really mean something to you when you feel that you've been able to help them. And they possibly were there others that I just don't recall at the moment. But that just happened to pop into my mind, this young man. But I know it does help sometimes when you try to help people. Hard to remember. My mind is not good at remembering anymore.
How would you say the Army has changed since you've been in it?
Well, I don't know. Of course, our main purpose in the Army has never changed. I mean, as far as that's concerned, there may be some slight changes and things, but our main purpose, of course, has never changed. I think there's always a change, it's a little bit as far as times are concerned. You know, we're not living in the same days that we did when I first went in the Army. So there's bound to be some changes. But I think our main purpose and everything is the change in that. But I'm like, I just have to tell you the truth about changes.
Has it gotten more complicated? Is there more paperwork? Does it seem? Does it seem like there's more paperwork or more complicated?
There's a lot more of that. This, I was trying to think of there's a lot more required of officers today than there was then. And not like my son, he has a bookkeeper, he has a secretary, and he has a receptionist. And all of when I was a corps officer, I did all of that myself. You know, I mean, we didn't have the volume of things that they have today. And so it's a great change in that respect, because there's so much more required of people today than there was then, because the Army is better known and the work is advanced to such an extent that you have to do so much more. Now, like, we have advisory boards now, men who businessmen, or well, they're on a board which advises and helps the Army in many things. And well, now there's times when they want to, they have an annual dinner every year. Some of these smaller places, they want a speaker. Well, my son is very often asked to go and speak at these advisory board dinners in some of these other places. That's just one thing, you know, that, I mean, takes you away from your regular work. And I don't know how many funerals he's did down in San Bernardino since he's been here. Somebody, while he was there, wanted him, if anything happened to them, to do their funeral. Well, he had to go down and do the funeral for this individual. I think three or four times he's been down there. And it's just, I don't know, I can't think of all the things that's involved in this type of work, you know. So it is a great deal of difference in what it was when I was a young officer. So it requires so much time and energy to keep up the pace. I could think of all the things, but I just can't think of them now.
What would you say the Army's primary goal is? What its main purpose is?
Well, our main purpose is, of course, has been from the beginning, is to get people saved. Mm-hmm. That was what the Army was brought into being for in the beginning. And it has been done all through the years. Our main purpose, everything we do, is to help people to get right with God. And all a social program is geared to that purpose. We can't always accomplish what we want to see, but that is the main purpose in all of our work, is to see people get right with God, become Christians. So it's in everything that, and so that has never changed down through the years. And a lot of people look on it as a social agency or something, but that's not the case, because the only thing is we, in the men's hospital, for instance, where these men, they have the store and they work with the men. Well, that whole purpose is to get those men saved and become a Christian. And they have to get in these things and sell them in order to keep the program going. And that's the main thing. It's a problem to finance where they take these men in. Some of them are alcoholics, some of them are from dope addiction, and all kinds of things. They've gone down to the bottom, you might say. Well, they are. He takes them in and gives them work to do, and repairing the furniture or fixing up things and sent in so that it can be sold to carry on the program. But their whole purpose is to get those men right with God so that they won't go back into this kind of life again. So it's true in every type of work that we do.
Has it ever seemed that there have been conflicts between the social work and the evangelistic work?
Well, I think, I don't know just what you said there, the word you used.
Have there ever been conflicts between the social work and the evangelistic work?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's ever been. Our officers who are in the social work, they're in for the same purpose that we are, and I don't think, as far as I know, I don't think there's any conflict between them. If it ever has been, it's just an individual, you know, personality problem that might be between two people. But I don't think, as far as the social work and the spiritual work, I don't think there's ever been any real problem. Not that I've ever known, I think. So.
Well, we can end for today.